This is a Vantage House production.
The problem is sexism.
There's not any sense of guilt.
Fabinho and Daniel Alves, they are convicted.
Are there enough men stepping up?
You can't change what happened.
Why is it always devolving into this violence?
Oi, oi, gente. Welcome back to the Delf Brazil. I'm your host, Jalen, and today I want to talk about football and sexual violence against women. Let's go. Now, let me level with you right from the start. I'm a gringo, a foreigner. Football, to me, has always been that thing where giant men in pads run into each other and kick a ball on a field. But I also recognize the passion, the fervor, the culture that surrounds it. And when stories transcend the field and enter into the realm of social justice, well, that's when I sit up and take notice. You see, in American football, we've had our own share of scandals involving athletes, but it seems that football, or soccer, as we call it back home, is no different. And when news broke out about prominent figures like Daniel Alves, Robinho, and Cuca being implicated in cases of sexual violence against women, I couldn't just let it slide by. Now, I had to do a bit of digging, of course. After all, this isn't exactly my wheelhouse, but what I found was deeply troubling. These aren't just isolated incidents. They're part of a larger pattern of behavior, a culture of entitlement and impunity that permeates the world of sports. Daniel Alves, a legend on the pitch, revered by fans around the world, but behind the glitz and glamour, there are disturbing allegations of assault and abuse. Neymar and his family even got pulled into the story. And Neymar, I've actually heard of Neymar. Robinho, once held as the next Pelé, now tarnished by his association with a heinous crime. And then there's Cuca, once embroiled in controversy, but now an advocate for the very women who have been abused. But what's perhaps even more troubling is the reaction, or lack thereof, from the football community. Too often, these allegations are swept under the rug, ignored or downplayed in the name of protecting the sport's reputation. But at what cost? How many more women must suffer in silence before we say enough is enough? In this episode, we're joined by esteemed journalist Millie Lacombe to delve deeper into these troubling allegations and explore what they mean for the future of football in Brazil. So, get ready, folks. This is going to be a tough conversation, but it's one that needs to be had. Let's listen in.
Millie, yeah. First of all, thank you so much for coming on to the Delf Brazil. We're so happy to have you. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, absolutely.
How about you?
I'm pretty good. Okay, Millie, if you can tell me a little bit about yourself and the things that you work on.
Yeah, so I am a lesbian journalist living in Brazil, currently living in Brazil. I work with soccer, but also with other things. Social things and behavior matters.
Yeah.
I do a lot of interviews. I have been doing a lot of interviews since I began working with journalism. I'm an activist. So I am LGBT and a feminist activist.
Perfect. I love that. When this topic came up in our production meetings, the topic of sexual violence against women perpetrated by football players, I was like, oh, wow, this is a thing? I'm not Brazilian. I am pretty far removed from football, soccer. But one thing that's kind of interesting is that we have this same problem in the U.S. with American football. There is like this thing with men, sports players,
yeah,
and their relations with women. Why is it always devolving into this violence?
Well, I used to say, I say a lot that, but being a woman in this world isn't different If you're a woman in Luanda, if you're a woman in New York, in Sydney, in Santiago, in Chile, anywhere in Moscow, you live, you go through the same problems. Like if you are a woman living in Saudi Arabia, right? And if you are a woman living in Paris, we tend to think that this is a lot, there's two different, you know, being a woman in Paris and,
yeah.
But let me tell you, it's not that different.
Yeah. Yeah.
We go through the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. The problem is sexism. The problem is when you were born and a doctor say, woman, man.
Yeah.
At that point, the destiny
It's sealed.
If you are a man, the society will ask some things from you, right?
Mm.
And they're very specific.
Yeah.
Be strong. Don't cry.
No.
Don't be a sissy. Don't be a woman.
No.
If you are a woman, same thing. Be soft.
Yeah.
Be sweet. Don't talk too loud. So you have a crush. You have this tremendous violence because of this beginning.
Yeah.
If we don't change that, we're going to live in a very difficult world.
Yeah.
Now that we know what we go through, it's even more, for one part, it's more difficult because we know what's happening.
Yeah.
My mother didn't know.
I want to talk about some of the cases that are and have unfolded here in Brazil under kind of like international repercussions, particularly the cases of Daniel Alves, Robinho, and Cuca. What are the points of convergence and divergence in these three cases?
Terrific question. I think that when you look through what happened, we have three cases.
Mm.
Cuca, for one, went back in time and got the annulment of the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we cannot say that he's convicted, right?
Yeah.
Robinho and Daniel Alves, they are convicted. They are rapers by law.
Wow.
Right? So when you see, so this is the point that they go different from each other.
Yep.
They're different from each other. Cuca was the first one who, after long, long winter, had the courage to say, yeah, something happened here, and I put myself in that position. The world is a horrible place for women. I know that now.
No.
And I will work to change that. This is a lot. This is the very first time that someone accused of doing something so horrible step forward and say, yeah, I can do something here. Mm. I can implicate myself in that horror.
Yeah.
And I'll try to change things.
I like that phrase that you use. He went back in time.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting point. Okay, yeah. Sorry. Back to
so,
you.
So, yeah. So, Daniel Alves and Robinho, they are in a very different position.
Yeah.
So, even going back in time, you can't change what happened, right? I mean, what happened, happened. What you can change is what you do now in this time. So you can eventually change the future for girls, for whoever is being born now.
Sure.
So Cuca is trying to do that, I think, I hope. And I believe he will. But today is just a faith.
Yep.
I have faith on it. Daniel Alves and Robinho, the past is a horrible thing, and the present is also horrible.
Mm, yeah.
Because they did not begin to understand what happened. They behaved themselves as if they had the right to do whatever they did.
Yeah.
And as if the victim was guilty from something. They behaved, and it's very common for men accused of horrible stuff to behave like that. The woman is to blame.
Yeah.
She was there expecting something. She is now expecting money.
It's her fault.
So they are very, it's her fault. So they have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Daniel Alves and Robinho, a long way to go.
Yeah.
If you ask me, do you like that they were charged, and one of them is now in prison. The other paid a lot of money and is off, but it's guilt. I prefer that they understand what they did. I don't like people being in prison.
Damn.
I hate that. Brazil has almost a million people in prison.
Sure.
But I don't think Robinho and Daniel Alves are nowhere close to understand what they did. So it's a long way.
There's not any sense of guilt or shame remorse.
Not that we can see, no. And you have to begin somewhere. I mean, I believe in transformation. I do believe that people can change. I am sure. I know a lot of men. They did horrible things.
Yeah.
And they are my friends. But they regret and they think they can do different.
Yeah.
I think we all, if we look to our past, we will find stuff that shame us.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Yeah. Why do you think there are so many cases of soccer players getting into this situation?
I think it's really a world problem. We're focused on soccer now, but this soccer is just a microcosm of the society, right? This happens everywhere to everybody. I don't know any woman that hasn't been abused. And I don't know any man that say, yeah, I did that. So the man... Yeah. It doesn't, right?
Yeah.
We have a problem right there.
Yeah.
But I think women are beginning to feel more comfortable to say, I've been through that. Because we need like a net of people that will say to us, go ahead, I will have your back.
Yeah.
I will be here for you. Because it's a very painful way.
Sure.
We will be put in the, will be, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You did that. You were using a very short skirt. Yeah. You were dancing in the wrong way.
You knew what you were doing.
You had a lot to drink. You knew what you're doing. So it's difficult for us to say that happened to
you. Yeah. And I
right?
can imagine it's probably also.
But it's beginning to change.
It's probably also really lonely.
Yeah, no.
You know, you're putting yourself out there saying this happened to me and it's probably a really lonely process.
Yeah, yeah. And if you say it out loud, it began to look even more horrifying because the thing will be getting back to you. You will relive everything that happened, right?
Yeah.
It's like a stress post-traumatic.
Sure.
That you keep rerunning that in your head and in your body, and it's horrible. It's really horrible. But there is no way out, right? Because what are the options? You don't tell.
Yeah.
And if I don't say what happened to me, my niece will go through the same things. I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
I want my niece and nephews to be in a world that is more equal to men and women.
Sure.
Living is a very hard thing for its own. We know we're going to die, and we know we're going to lose people we love.
Damn.
This is in this also already very difficult. We don't have to go through this kind of violence, you know.
Damn.
We should be helping each other to face death and to the loss of the people we love.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine what it must feel like to try to contain that and not speak out about it. So that's probably even more lonely. You're just holding it all in and not, you know, getting it out. That's
depression.
Yeah.
Melancholy and suicide. I mean, we go through a lot of things.
Yeah.
And the sense of rage against the predator. The sense of impunity, you can do nothing, even if you try, the guy can at the end be a hero.
Yeah.
We've seen this happen, so it's very hard.
Are we seeing more cases like this, or are people just more open to come forward?
No, people are more open to come forward.
Yeah.
This has been like that since beginning of time.
Of time,
patriarchal and sexism.
Yeah.
You can't escape from that.
Mm-hmm.
And women are subject to these forces too. It's not to say that I am not a sexist. I am. I live in this society. I grew up in this world. Of course I am a sexist. Of course I have that inside me. I have to face this horrible thing and try to change it in me.
Yeah. Is there something just within Brazilian soccer, Brazilian football, that this is going to happen? Is it just like, oh gosh, there's another soccer player and sexual violence thing? Is that just part of the culture of Brazilian football?
I think we're gonna see a lot more of these cases popping up in the soccer world.
Wow.
But now women's soccer in Brazil is getting very strong. Well, it's getting stronger. Let's put it that way. And we are not going back in time.
Yeah.
We will continue to fight. So what happens now is that a lot of cases will pop up and we will fight each one of them.
Yeah.
And nobody will be safe. No man will be safe to do that anymore.
Well, they should just act.
Eventually the world will change. Exactly.
Yeah. Imagine that. I'm just kidding. I'm sure there are awesome and amazing Brazilian soccer players. I want to ask a question. I asked this question in the production team because I literally just don't follow soccer. How influential are these players? Are there little boys out there saying, oh, I love that guy. I want to be just like him when I grow up. Mm-hmm. What is this influence looking
like? It's a lot. It's big. It's huge.
Oh, wow.
If you have a guy like Cuca, he's a coach, but he's a very successful coach. If Cuca step forward and say, yeah, something horrible happened.
Yeah.
I think we have to change the world because women cannot go living like that anymore.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Okay.
Because the same sexist structure that rapes one woman every 8 minutes in Brazil, very subnotificate numbers, is the one that makes a lot of men have ears to listen only other men's voice. So if I scream, they will not hear me. But if Cuca step forward and say, we have to do something here, guys, they will listen to him.
So there's a place for men like that to help try to take down this whatever disgusting thing that is infecting Brazilian football.
Yeah.
Are there enough men stepping up? I mean, I don't know. That's probably a really awful question.
No, it's a good question. It's a very good question because from where I see it, a lot of men is in an uncomfortable place, and that's good. We're not going to change anything if people stay comfortable.
Sure.
We have to be uncomfortable, and we all are.
Yeah.
So a lot of men is beginning to ask, what should I do from here?
That's great. Yeah.
They're coming to me. A lot of them. Okay, Mili, I am beginning to understand, but what should I do from here? So I designed a course that is called Feminism for Men.
Okay.
Because I think that when men understand that they will join feminism fight, not because of them, of us, but because of them, this is for them, their emancipation also. Men, sexism is very hard on men too.
Yeah.
If you cannot cry, that's a very difficult situation.
Yeah.
If you have to have the world on your back, that's very difficult.
Yeah.
If you cannot show sensitivity, that's horrible.
Yeah.
Right? So sexism is cruel to men too. If you guys understand that, we'll have a lot of more people joining us in this movement.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing. I'm happy that you're doing this course. That sounds awesome. what do you say to the men or even some of the women out there that say it's the woman's fault?
Yeah. It's not. But for that matter, I think we can say it's nobody's fault, because we as a society, we have to put ourselves as actors for change. We are born in this world that socializes in this violent ways.
Yeah.
So we are all victims. Of course, we have to implicate ourselves in the horrors or the crimes or the errors that we commit.
No.
But we have also to look at us as a collective, a group. And when we do that, we have to understand that we are all victims of this violent system. So I know a lot of women, they are very sexist. And I know a lot of men, they are not. They're trying not to be.
Yeah.
It's not a gender thing. It's a society thing.
Yeah.
And we have to change that as a society. We don't think in ourselves as group anymore. Neoliberalism and capitalism say about individuals.
Yeah.
You are an individual. Go do it yourself.
Yeah.
You and your family. We don't think as a society anymore. And to get out of this mess, we're going to have to think it as a society.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the way society sees the women who come forward. How are these women received? Sometimes, woo, they're a hero. Sometimes it's very ugly.
Yeah.
How do you see it?
I think it's we are seen as a pain in the ass group, feminists, right? Oh, there comes a feminist again. But we have to do that because to us, a pain in the ass is living in this world.
Mm.
Pain in the ass is not being able to go into public transportation without being in risk.
Yeah.
Or even in our houses. The majority of sexual crimes, they happen inside the house.
Wow.
So imagine that kind of violence. If you get home, you think, I'm safe now.
Sure.
No, for a woman, no. You are in the most dangerous place you can be in the world.
Wow.
Your house. That's horrible.
Damn.
And we are talking about numbers here. It's science.
Yeah.
So we have to change that. So we have to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to do that.
It's funny because that's just a thought that wouldn't go through a man's head. They're not getting on the subway or the bus and be like, I need to be mindful of people touching me. Or when I get home, it's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
That's just not a thing that goes through our minds.
Exactly. You see, if you are in a dating position, you want to go out, you have your app, and you go there and you, okay, I'm going to see this guy, a woman. What's the most horrible thing that can happen to her? She can die.
Yeah.
What's the most horrible thing that can happen to him? It's going to be an awful date.
Yeah.
She's not nice. So
he spends a little money.
Exactly. He's not funny.
Yeah.
So as a heterosexual woman go on a date, she knows she's facing the enemy. Even if she likes, if you see, it's
you're
horrible.
You're making me sad and depressed.
No, but there are a lot of good guys out there. But this is...
Okay.
It's a risk. It's a risk.
Yeah.
It's given, you know, it's out there. Oy. I mean, I'm facing an enemy. It can be nice, but I can also die.
Wow.
And a man will never think like that.
Yeah. I just kind of had that realization, 30 seconds ago when we were talking about it. Yeah. So, wow. My goodness.
Yeah.
What can help kind of like push on this change within society? I think probably courses like yours. What are some other things that, you know, can kind of like help move us all into a better direction?
So, I don't think punishing each and every man, putting them in jail, will change society. Okay?
Okay.
I think that we're going to have to punish eventually, but I don't think this is the thing that will change society. I think it's in education.
Okay.
I think we have to understand very early in life what is to be a human being in this world.
Yeah.
I think if we could end this man and woman thing, you know, you have to be this or you have to be that, like the regime of binary sexual structure. If we can, how can I say, end that, it will be healthier.
Yeah.
Be whatever you want to be.
Mm.
You can be a woman and play soccer and be very manly. And you can be a very feminine man or you can be non-binary. You can be heterosexual today, homosexual tomorrow, bisexual.
Okay.
You see, you can be, if you're not doing harm to other people, if you're not doing harm to the world or other beings, that's okay.
Yeah.
If you have consent, that's okay.
Yeah. What, on the other hand, is probably going to be the most difficult thing to change?
Capitalism.
Ah, the C word.
Because this yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because capitalism lives on this kind of prejudices. Capitalism needs racism. Capitalism needs sexism. Capitalism needs homophobia. Capitalism needs all that. So if we don't begin to talk about the harm that capitalism is doing to our lives,
yeah,
we won't go anywhere. We have to be able to get the C word and go against it. It doesn't mean that, oh, you are talking against the C word, so you are a communist.
Yes.
No. We have
to like face thrown around just like, you disagree with me, you're a communist. Like, what's happening?
This lesbian communist. No, we have to face that capitalism is over. Or it will end us all, right? What comes next, we don't know. We don't know. We're gonna build that together.
Yeah. I actually have an episode on the American Delve, I guess maybe about 3 or 4 episodes ago. We were trying to just have a discussion on what happens after capitalism. It's the sooner the better.
Happiness.
Yeah, I like that. I want to talk about the CBF, the Brazilian Soccer Federation.
Okay.
How involved are they in kind of like mediating this, navigating these issues that come up? Or are they completely hands off? What role should they play?
I think that for a long, long time, they didn't care at all about these things.
It's not part of the sport. We're out of it. Yeah.
No, a bunch of executives in the business of power and money.
Yeah.
And that was
it. This would threaten that.
No. Exactly. Exactly. Now, because feminism is so strong and doing a lot of noise, we have, for the first time, a black man as a president of CBF.
Yeah.
And for the first time, I'm beginning to see a movement.
Okay.
For the first time, I'm beginning to see, to feel, actually, that they are listening and they want to change.
Yeah.
They have a long way to go. It's not going to be easy.
Okay.
But I think it's beginning.
Yeah.
And that makes me very happy because I thought it was impossible. When I was growing up, I thought that soccer would be forever a man ambient and a man world.
Mm.
But it's not anymore. We are in and we're changing things from the inside.
Yeah.
And so I'm very hopeful.
That's good. I love hope. Yeah. I think that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
I feel like this conversation so far, it's been like a roller coaster. I give you like nice questions, and we get like these really sad questions. And now I'm back to one of the not fun questions.
Okay.
Neymar paid for Daniel Alves's bail. Some people not very happy with that.
Yeah.
Some people like, whatever, that's his friend. How do you feel?
This is a very nice question because the answer.
That's a nice one?
Yes, very nice. Because the answer doesn't have to go through Neymar and what he did. The answer have to go through capitalism. This is a system that allows someone to pay for his friend to get out of jail.
Yeah.
I would pay for my friend to get out of jail.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so I cannot blame Neymar for something that I would do.
Yeah.
So I think in that case, Neymar is not guilt, which is, I mean, I don't specifically like his behavior. But in this case, I think we have to go against capitalism.
Yeah.
Billionaires can't be able to do any sort of crime and pay for that. So, yeah, Ray, I raped that girl and it will cost me like €1 million.
Yeah.
Oh, now I'm out of jail. I'll go to a party. That's wrong.
Yeah.
But this is not specifically the guy.
Yeah.
It's the system.
Yeah.
The system is immoral. It's immoral, unethic.
Yeah. It's so funny when we were in the production meeting for this episode, we're going through the questions and this question came up and I was like, well, I would pay for my friend. And I think...
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I know, I'll have a chat with him. What did you do? Yeah. That was horrible.
Yeah.
You owe me that bunch of money. So stay quiet and behave.
Yeah, yeah. I want my money back.
Exactly. Go be a nicer person and pay me back.
Oh, my goodness. And what about like the Brazilian media and how they portray these stories or write about these stories? Do they get it right all the time? Are they skewed? Are there some biases? What's going on?
Yeah. So we are beginning to get it right. But for a long time in journalism, you had men. White men all around.
Like always.
Now, now we have one woman here, another woman there. So you are beginning, a black journalist here, a black journalist there.
Yep.
So you're beginning to be able to talk about racism in a very much healthier way. I mean, healthy won't be the word, but in a very decent way. You have the elements to talk about.
There's more perspectives.
And perspective.
Yeah.
That's it. The same thing with women in journalism.
Yeah.
Now we can talk about these things in a proper way.
Sure, yeah.
It's changing.
Yeah, slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Is there anything that normal people can do to fight back against like this misogynistic monster?
Yeah.
Fight back against the man? What can, you know, a normal person do?
That's also a very good question, because I put myself in as a white body, a white woman, in the racism structure. To fight racism, it's a job that white people have to do. It's not essentially a black people fight.
Yeah.
It's a white people fight. We have to go inside this. So to fight against sexism, we will need men. Men will have to step forward.
Yep.
We are allies. We need allies.
Yep.
Because without men, we won't be successful. So it's. I think it's time for us to go outside of our camps. It's very comfortable if you are in your camp.
Yep.
Talking with people that think exactly like you.
Yep.
We're going to have to get out. We're going to have to open the door and go to the other side.
Yeah.
Talk to the enemy and say, come join me, because this is a world that your children will live in. You don't want that kind of world.
No.
And you don't want to be someone that can't cry, that can't hug a friend in public, that can't say, I'm sad, I'm weak, I can't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
So come join the fight, because it is for you too.
Yeah. I like to end these things asking the guests, what is something that makes them hopeful or optimistic for the future? What's something that makes you a little bit more hopeful for the future?
I have to tell you that when I heard Cuca, the coach, saying to all Brazilians that, yes, something happened there. I have to implicate myself in the horror, and I will live to make whatever I can change this world for women.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Is the world over?
I'm here. I'm listening to
is
this.
Is this real?
So, yes. Feminism is a bizarre force.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre force. When it gets through someone, it won't leave. It will do whatever it takes to change the world.
Yeah.
So I saw in Cuca the chance of a very strong ally. And I hope he continues this path.
Yeah.
That gave me hope. That day gave me hope.
Good. I love that. Millie, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with me today.
Thank you.
This was so fun.
Thank you.
You are the best.
Thank you. It was very nice.
Oh, good.
I apologize for my English.
Oh, gosh.
I'm very rusty.
Please stop it. No. You were incredible. Before I let you go, were there any, organizations that you might want us to put into the show notes? If you can think of anything right now, and you can always just email me some that I can put into the show notes.
Okay.
Just so people can have some resources that, you know, maybe they want to learn a little bit more.
Okay. Well, I think that people can search. If you don't know what MST is, it's the movement from the people without a land in Brazil.
Mm.
I think they are very strong. They are one of the most beautiful movements in the world.
Mm.
They have feminists inside this huge movement. I would encourage people to join MST and to help them. It's one fight. It's one against racism, against capitalism, against sexism, against homophobia.
Mm.
It's just one fight. So MST I would like to encourage people to check what they do.
Perfect. I love it. Millie, thanks so much again. You're the best. Thank you all for listening in. Muito obrigado to Millie once again. You are the best. Shout out to Juliana handling production and our sound crew, Ignacio and Dan. I'm Jalen, and I'll see you guys next week. Ciao, ciao.